World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
7-Eleven. Anybody got any dice? Betty, you got any dice out there at 7-Eleven today, man, huh? If some of you guys love to go to Las Vegas and lose all your money rolling those snake eyes. Well, it's 7-Eleven here. Thank you for joining us. It is show number 2,193. It's pretty amazing. And one of the things that we did yesterday, my brother Joe, he's still here. He's here a couple more days, actually. We have a big family thing going on tonight. I had some really rich fellowship with him. Joe's 4 years older than me. Dr. Joe is 4 years older than me. And, you know, although he's been my brother, he went his way, I went my way. And we'd see each other once in a while, but the guy he was back when he was in high school, when he was 18 and I was 14, then he went to college. And then really, we never ever came back together. You know how it is when your brother goes away and he went and became a missionary to the world. And so I've had some really rich fellowship with him the last couple of days and see a different perspective in him. And he sees a different perspective in me. And I appreciate all of you letting us have that family conference here together. But it's been really, really, it's been really anointed. It's been really a blessing to him. And the message that I spoke about yesterday, I think is so critical that if we could just understand this, friends, all of us would just understand what we talked about yesterday, and that we all got a row to plow. We all got a row to plow. And the problem we run into is somebody wants to tell me how to plow my row or not to plow that row. When in fact, if you look at, I used a perspective yesterday as a football team, there are 11 positions on the offensive football team. There's a center, two guards, two tackles, a tight end and a wide receiver. You have a quarterback, you have a fullback, and you have two halfbacks. One of them can become a wide receiver depending on what your formations are. But there are 11 guys on the field, and none of them do the same job. And then you kick it over on defense, and there's 11 positions on the defense, depending on whether you have an odd front or an even front. But you've got basically five linemen, four linebackers, two defensive backs and variations of it, but 11. And all 11 have a specific job that they're supposed to do on every play. And what we want to try to do in America is we want to make sure in Christianity I'm talking about now, that everybody runs the same play, the same way, whether they're, you cannot take a defensive tackle and make him a wide receiver. It will not work. Why? He's not gifted physically to do that job. And I think that what they try to do to us in Christianity is cookie cutter Christianity, rather than if you walk, you walk into a new church, let's say, or maybe you've been in a church for a long time. And this happened during COVID, that people had been in a church a long time. Then the church shuts down for COVID and they go home and they start watching a church on Sunday morning on the internet. And they see, wow, this guy here is talking about stuff I've never heard about. And so they were drawn maybe away from their local church. I hate to say this. I think it was a good thing. It was a good thing. And so they began to make a real evaluation of what row was being plowed at their church, although they didn't have that analogy. That wasn't the language they used. But they saw that their pastor was plowing one row, but there's this guy over here, he's plowing this row. And that's probably pretty good. He's plowing this row, and he's watching this guy plow this row, and then he comes across another. Wow, this guy's plowing this row. And we get confused because why? We are in a pastor-driven society where the pastor gives the direction to the entire team. And that's okay to a degree, but not all football's played the same way. It's just not all run. Some have spread offenses. Some have power offenses. Some have two tight ends. Some have no tight ends. There's a lot of ways to run plays. And most of us are shackled by the head coach, which is the guy in the pulpit. as I've said over and over and over, you and I are prisoners to that guy, that head coach in the pulpit. You learn what he wants you to learn. Now, look, he may really believe it. He may be a really, really good man, but he has what he believes. And he's going to plow the way that he thinks he's been called to plow. I was shocked yesterday, 2 days ago, 3 days ago, whenever Joe first showed up, I said to him, I talked, tried to explain to him about the Nephilim mounds around here, right? Buckeye, he grew up here too, right? I was explaining it to him. And I said, you know, Joe, I don't know what you feel about the Nephilim. And right away he said, well, the Bible clearly talks about them. I thought, dude, really? You get that, right? You get that. But I would ask some of you out there right now, in your whole Christian walk, in your whole Christian life, have you ever heard any teaching ever in your local church on the Nephilim? Ever? Anybody at your local church where you go, has your pastor ever done a sermon series on the Nephilim, the fallen angels? And I would say the answer is probably no, because why? It appears to be fringe. Can I tell you something? I think Christianity, spirituality, I think it's pretty fringe. Casting out devils, laying hands on the sick, seeing them recover. Are you with me? And yet we see Genesis 6. Pull that up real quick, Spence. Genesis 6. And I'm not going to get into the Nephilim, although, boy, I'm building up a program to do one. I got to tell you something. And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men that were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth and in those days, and also after that. Now, dudes, what does that mean? You talk about that in the average church, and they'll lasso you, wrap you up, put a blanket on you, and drive you out and stuff you in the trunk. Anybody want to disagree with me? Yet that is a very, very relevant scripture. What do you mean there were giants in the earth in those days? And also after that, when the sons of God came unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, and the same became mighty men of old, men of renown. Wow! So right there is in your Bible, and probably in your church, you've never heard anybody talk about it. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. He said, dude, these guys are sleeping with fallen angels. He said, man, I got to do something. And then that would lead maybe to the flood, all that kind of. But we don't talk about that stuff. We don't. Why? It's not your role. So Joel Osteen, I'm not picking on Joel. He's plowing his row, I guess. God gave him a happy slappy ministry. Prosperity message. And he goes around the world and he broadcasts around the world, and he's got millions and millions of people who tune in because they love that happy, slappy, feel-good message. They love it, right? And if I would start, get L.A. Marzulli in here and start a church on the fallen angels, nobody, they'd laugh at us. People wouldn't come. Are you with me? I'm trying to show you, I hate this word, the diversity in the body of Christ. And we're seeing a counterfeit diversity in America, in the world. It's a counterfeit diversity based on what? Fleshly things, beliefs, all that. Yeah, Michael Heiser, all the folks, this stuff is all there. And the average pastor church doesn't talk about it because why? It gets into the supernatural, and most of us are not qualified to explain it. I can't explain the supernatural. I don't know how fallen angels came in and had sex with women. I don't know how it happened. Because I don't know how it happened, I'm not going to stand in the pulpit and talk about it, because Betty might ask me a question and I can't answer it. I can't answer it. So none of us like to talk about things that we aren't solid or have some grounding in. And that's, in my opinion, that's been a lot of the perverted, stunted growth of American Christianity. We look around at what's going on. Oh, I got some stuff today. I'm going to get to it here in a second. We see what's going on. And would anybody, anyone listening right now, you certainly believe in Satan. You certainly believe there's a devil. You certainly do. And so if you were to, you're in here and you're listening to the show right now, what if you were working for the devil? What would be your job? What would it look like if you were working for the devil? That's a good question. Somebody want to help me out with that? If you were hired by Satan in this world today, what would it look like? What would you be doing? Rochelle, you got an answer? What would you be doing, Rochelle?
Sure. I have lots of answers, but one would be open borders and to infiltrate the church.
Wow.
I would definitely be trying to get in here.
Make it look good, right? Maybe give,
yeah.
Maybe
give you some other gospel. Give you some other Jesus to worship.
Yeah, get other foreigners in here so they could change the whole landscape of America, get rid of American Christianity. I would do that. I would bring a lot of non-believers in here if I was working for the devil. What do you say, Judd?
I would say that I'd bring all pastors around the state of Ohio in together to mingle, to sit at tables with business owners, and I'd probably add Mike Pence to be a guest speaker.
Hey, Mike, is it possible that Mike Pence, by the way, there's an element of the Republican Party that's still pushing Mike Pence. Do you understand that, friends? Huh? Something seriously going on there. Go ahead, Gino. What would you do, Gene?
Well, I'm going to throw a different tack. All those tax collectors that are collecting money to support the work of the devil.
Hey, Gene, not only that, dude, they're just printing the money.
They're amen.
Just printing the money. It ain't even money.
Amen. And
is the church saying anything about it? No, no. Yeah, Melby, infiltrate with secret society members, right? Get my guys in positions of authority. Yeah, that's the ticket. What would you do, Betty?
I would depopulate, and I would have sexual immorality, including mutilating our children. Excuse me.
So I would turn. So if Betty, if I get this right, you would turn sex simply into pleasure, and not reproduction, not reproducing children, godly children. You would float that apple of sexual perversion, and everybody would bite on that apple everywhere. That'd work. That's a ticket. Rochelle, what out? What do you think, Rochelle?
Thanks, Coach. Yeah, I would also take medicine. Take poison and trick you into thinking it's medicine and inject it into babies' arms as soon as I could. I would also educate those children and tell them that you know, just totally demoralize them. You come from monkeys and you're on a spinning water ball out of control.
Right.
And I would confuse their gender roles. Let them know it's okay. You can be whatever you want. You can be a boy. You can be a girl.
If it feels good, do it, right? Whatever it feels good, right? You were born that way.
And nothing is your fault. Nothing is your fault. We have an answer for everything. And if we don't have an answer, we have a pill.
Yeah. Yeah. So hang on just a second. Are you guys tracking with me here? So ask yourself this. If you were a pastor, wouldn't you identify these things that are going on? And trying to awaken and teach your people this stuff. Hey, this is what's going on. This is what's going on. And we got to fight against this. Is that being done? I don't think it is. Why? Because they're in their sermon series. They're in their sermon series, right? Because they're trying to bring people in. I'm not criticizing them and that they're trying to get people saved. That's noble. That's noble. But now, once you're saved, what? Most of the people in the church have already prayed that prayer. I would hope that the church is full of what we would call saved people. I would hope, maybe not, but I would hope. Why do you continue then to preach to unsaved people if you got a room full of saved people? Look, I'm old enough and mature enough. You can tell me about the giants and I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll do my own research. I don't have pastor. I don't have to have you tell me everything. You are not the arbiter of all truth. You want to plant a little seed? I'm going to run down that row and I'll check it out on my own. Come on, moderator, come on in.
My suggestion, if I was the devil, I would take over all the seminaries and all of the higher education places.
Yeah. And give them the real authority, right? That they're educators and they got doctor before their name. And we can't argue with them because they're the experts. And by the way, I would make sure those experts went to colleges that we'd already captured so that they would be experts in what we teach them to teach everybody. Are you with me? Isn't this what the devil would do? And so we got pastors and churches who are praising their public schools. Praising their public schools? That's a special kind of blindness. Brett, come on in.
Morning, Coach. Morning, everybody. Let's see. How about the universe is billions of years old and the earth is round?
Oh, yeah. Not even be able to discuss it. Not even discuss it, right? Not allowed to talk about that. RL.
Okay, if I were the devil and I wanted more control and I wanted everybody making money and I wanted to also reduce the population, I would keep those borders open and get millions of military age people in, and eventually I would give them the opportunity to join the military
and vote
and in turn get citizenship.
Yeah.
And now we could go on and on, but you don't have time to listen to me.
But it's good. It's happening though, isn't it, RL? It's happening right in front of us. That's where I'm going today, by the way, if I get a chance here. And I hate to keep coming back with the same sledgehammer. Are you hearing any of this in church, folks? Any of this? Is the man in the pulpit, anybody in your church standing up and say, have you noticed this? Have you noticed this is going on? Have you noticed this is going on? I got some of those have you notices here in a second that I'm gonna get to. Who Rochelle gets in here again. Go ahead, Rochelle, then Jeff.
One thing I would make sure to do is let everybody know that they are supposed to be leading their best life now. Don't do anything that's hard, and don't stand up, and you have to be nice to everyone.
And Jesus loves everybody, Michelle. Jesus loves everybody. He's not judgmental, and he's not hateful.
That's right.
Yeah.
Make the people think that they have a choice, but really don't give them a choice. Yeah. Capture everybody.
Censor everything on the internet. Misinformation. Oh, yeah, that's what I would do. Jeff.
If I was the devil, I'd shove my wokeism in the military and the police departments and the churches.
Amen. And I would let Christians go to church, and I would take over the elected offices. That's what I would do. I would get my people in positions of authority. That's what I would do. James Earl Jones, what would you do, James?
I would make language mean exactly the opposite of what it really means.
I would change language, because if you change language, change words, you change the world, right? I would call good evil and evil good. I would call homosexuality good and someone who criticizes it bad. That's a great plan, Vinny. That's a great plan. Johnny, what would you do? Go ahead, Betty, while we wait on Johnny. He's on a delay. Go ahead.
Yep. When you own nothing, you'll be happy.
Yes. Yes. Just get rid of everything and let us have. Yeah, that's it, Betty. You need to run for office. Joe Allen.
I would keep on confusing people that the world's still flat.
I lost Johnny. Are you back, Johnny? Would try it?
Yeah, I'm here. Sorry, I broke up and lost you guys.
That's all right, bud. That's all right.
If I were the devil, I would definitely not discipline my children, but I would medicate them instead.
Oh, yes. I give them trophies for not doing anything. That would be good, right? Here's what I would really do. I would work really hard on self-esteem. In fact, I think I would preach it from the pulpits. If I could get the pastors to talk about how much God loves me, and because I love me and he loves me, we are in a great relationship because we have the common value that we both really love me. I bet I could build a big church on that. I bet I could. Mary Beth, what do you think?
I would convince people that it's just a blob of tissue and that it's a woman's choice.
Oh, that's that. I got to get that one on my list, right? I would get that one on my list. And at the same time, Mary Beth, I would make sure that all the churches knew that if it's a woman's right to choose, that we have no say in this, that the woman has the right to murder. Murder's okay in the womb. I would convince Christians that that would be okay. That it's just a difficult choice between a woman and a doctor.
No more dead babies.
What would you, Bobby Lee?
I wouldn't research anything and believe all the lies and pretty pictures and colors that I see and I'm told on TV.
Oh, I'd love that. I'd steal that rainbow, huh? What my buddy Norm must be out there listening. He just texted me. What did Norm say? He said, I would cross the border and get fentanyl and kill all the people in Ohio. That'd be a good one, wouldn't it? Yeah, that'd be it. You know what else I would do? I would, here's what I think I would do. I think I would get control of the money to where I could just print it to do whatever I wanted to, and then tax people more on just fake printed money. I think I would do that. I think that would be good. And that way, then I could get a house to go from when I bought it $70,000, and now 20 years later, it's $750,000, and I would convince people that they made money in their house, not realizing it was phony value to begin with. So we went off the gold standard. Oh, this is good, isn't it? This is good. Julie,
that sodomy, that sodomy is love.
Sodomy is love. That's right. And perfectly normal. Perfectly normal. Sodomy, that's a good one. Sodomy is love. Yeah, go ahead. Who did I say out there? Julie. Go ahead, Julie.
I would convince that we have a great president and he knows everything.
Amen. That they are always doing what's best for the people. They have the best interests of the people of heart. I would agree with that. And that judges are always right. Judges, you can trust the judges, especially the government judges, and especially the Supreme Court judges, because the judges will make sure that you know what is legal, not necessarily moral. That would be good. I would do that. I would. Randy, what would you do?
Well, if I didn't get my way and I got butt hurt, I would go run somewhere else, coach, where they would take me and accept me.
Mm-hmm. I would go find a network of people that I could live around. And yeah,
where I didn't get challenged and then everybody made me feel like I was so special. That's what I would do, coach.
And so I said to my brother, Joe, because there was a time in his life where, like happens to all of us, that he was in a cult. We all thought, because Joe's life had changed so dramatically around Christ, everybody whose life hadn't changed dramatically around Christ and went to church and were Christians, we said, well, golly, poor Joe. He loves the Lord too much. He's obviously in a cult. He's in a cult because look at me. I love the Lord too. I just don't follow anything that the Bible says, but I love the Lord because the Lord loves me. And I said, you know what? Raise your hand out there, folks. How many of you listening right now have been accused of being in a cult? Come on. Huh? Like your local Baptist church isn't a cult, right? Your local Catholic church isn't a cult. Your local Methodist church isn't a cult. Come on, right? So we see how they plant that. Wow. Cheryl, come on in. You have to unmute yourself, Cheryl. Go ahead, Roger. Till Cheryl figures it out. Go ahead, Roger Burns.
Coach, there's many ways to God.
All roads follow the yellow brick road. All roads. Yep. That'd be a good one. Cheryl, can you get it yet?
Yes, I'm here.
There you go.
If I was the devil, I would do exactly what I did when I first met Adam and Eve. And it was guaranteed to destroy all future generations.
That their eyes would be open, that they would be like God. That's what it would be, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Oh, you know what else I would do? I would introduce, if I was the devil, at the same time, I would introduce make love, not war, and the birth control pill. I'd introduce those at the exact same time. And wow, I teach it in our colleges. Wow, man, maybe I ought to start doing this. WVU Kim, come on in.
Well, I would burn cities down and say it's love that's happening in there.
I would burn cities down and say it was mostly peaceful protest. That's what I would do. And yeah, that's a ticket. And I would make sure that I had positions of authority, people who agreed with me, that they would propagandize. That's what I would do if I'm out of the devil. I'm not saying that that's what happened. Certainly that didn't happen. But if I was the devil, that's what I would do. Joe Allen.
I would convince, as a devil, I would convince everybody that wore a cross hat is evil.
Hey. Uh-oh, Joe, can I throw another one out there? Okay, I'm going to lose half of you. I would convince everybody that Jews can't do anything wrong. That's one of the things I would do. That'd be good. Jeff Mayers, come on in.
I would invent music that fed my flesh instead of worship God.
Yeah, that would be it. To tap your finger to demonic music that was doing everything to destroy righteousness. Man, if I could just get in control of the music industry, and I could begin to promote people who were singing evil songs and subliminally planting ideas. Imagine there's no heaven. I wonder if you can. No hell below us. Right? Remember? Huh? Yeah. And promote those. And I would promote Britney Spears. And I would promote, what's her name? Katy Perry. That's what I would do. Yeah, that's what I would do. Paul Webb, what would you do?
Hey, good morning, everybody. I would convince everybody that our country's not a constitutional republic, but we're a democracy. Mob rule.
You know what else I would do, Paul? I would convince, okay, here, I'm going to make enemies again. Paul, you'll take this in the right vein. I know you would. I would convince that minorities can't get ahead because they're discriminated against. That had nothing to do with them and their behavior and their education. And it had nothing to do with that. It's poor you. You can't do it because you're a minority. I would really ride that horse. That would get me somewhere. Rochelle, what else?
Boom on that one.
Yeah. Sorry, Paul. Hey, Paul, you know, man, you are qualified for this job. But dude, they won't give it to you because you're black, Paul. And that's just awful, Paul. We all feel that's discrimination. Wow. Is horrible. And can we give you a government handout, Paul, make you feel better? Can we do
that? No, Coach, I would get the job if I was black, a female, and a lesbian.
That's right. Guy like me ain't getting that job. Who'd I call on next?
Yeah, Coach. Yeah, I would just conspire with guys like you because you're giving me such good ideas. This one, when Vinny said about changing the words and changing the language, immediately what also came to my mind was hate speech.
Yeah.
Oh, let's call it hate speech, and then we can put people in jail for not saying the right thing. And let's get into Hollywood and the movies and Disney and start off really young, teaching boys and girls what's good and bad.
Yes, yeah. But Rochelle, we'd have to also at the same time begin to teach Christians that it's hateful to judge. We'd have to get those two things together. If we could get over here so I could move up in society based on hate and then get these people over here to feel guilty because of something they never did, man, we could really advance.
So then the truth would sound like hate to those who hate the truth.
Wow.
Stop.
Come on. Ralph, what do you think? Come on in, Ralph. Kevin, while Ralph gets ready. Go, Kevin.
I would create secret societies such as Freemasonry and Knights of Columbus and tell you everything that is good. So while we take our fez caps and rub it around in the blood of dead Christians, and tell you that all this stuff.
And then I would take those people and I would make sure they got on the elder boards. That's what I would do. That make sure that they have a form of godliness. And then I'd run them for political office. I'd put guys like Mike Pence in the Oval Office. That's what I would do. Yeah. If I was the devil, Ralph, can you unmute yourself?
Yeah.
I got it now. There is no absolute truth.
Yes. Truth is an opinion. That's right.
Yes, amen.
I would make Oprah really, really famous and then have her tell everybody that you have to live out your truth. That's what I would. It would be subtle, but people would begin to realize that what they believed was the truth because it is your truth. That would be really good. John Loveland, what would you do, John?
Hey, Coach, I sent you a link to Paul Harvey did this in like 1965. It's a three-minute clip.
Yeah,
if I it was a three-minute clip. It would fit in really well if you wanted to post, show it.
All right, but it just popped up here. Thank you. We'll see if we get there. Who hadn't been in? And they've all been in. Mary Beth, go.
My pronouns are USA. I'm really a boy. And I'm a women's liver. Woohoo.
Yeah. That a woman's place. I'd certainly make sure that people knew that a woman's place. Shut up. I'm trying to do something. That a woman's place is not in the home. It's not in the home. No, a woman should be in the pulpit. A woman should be, she should be leading everything. Right. See?
Oh, Coach.
Huh? Boom. Stop that. I'm trying to get you to shut up. Thank you. Okay, where? Betty. Go, Betty.
I would euthanize all the elderly because they can't produce children. And I would definitely promote sex because if they have babies, they would have more child sacrifice and eat more babies.
Okay, so I would do this, Betty. I would, first of all, I would find out a way to get something into our culture and our society that would make old people sick. I would do that. Because they have all those old traditional values. And I'd figure out any way that I could to kill those old people off. Yep. And then once I killed all those old people off, then I would do everything I could to bring into our country people who aren't Americans and don't even understand liberty and freedom. I would do that. If somebody out there could come up with, I don't know, a virus or whatever, a vaccine that would kill off all the old people so we can bring in Hispanics from down in South America, that would be good.
Remdesivir and ventilators.
What's that?
Remdesivir and ventilators.
Yeah. By the way, I just saw, I got a clip today. I'm not going to have a chance to play it, where a cancer doctor has come out and said, dudes, the cure for cancer. You ready, folks? You ready?
Ivermectin.
A heart surgeon said, huh? Got a big, I was going to play it today. I may not get around to it. That cancer is killed by ivermectin. That's why they don't want you to have it. Dale. Mm.
Well, Coach, we got to come up with some new ideas because for the past half hour, the devil's already doing all of these things.
Oh, that's true. And we don't recognize it, do we? We don't recognize he's doing all that. Oh, my goodness. Rochelle, Ralph, and then I'm going to get in. Because I don't want to be a dead horse. You get it, right?
We get it. I'd just like to add that I would turn humans into transhumans because trans is really cool. Uh-huh. And that way I could control their thoughts so that they could be evil all of the time.
Oh, my goodness. Huh? By the way, he's the father of lies, isn't he? He's not just a liar. When he tells the truth, he's lying about it, right? So I just got to flood the world with lies and then get the medical authorities to support the lies, the educational authorities to support the lies, the government authorities to support the lies. And the next thing you know, we're controlling the whole world. Johnny, what do you think?
Well, and you already touched on it a little bit, but if I were the devil, I would develop and then unleash a pandemic. And then I would go, hey, everybody, don't worry. We've got you covered. And then I would, while I stick the knife in you, I would twist it. And then I would say, now you have to take the shot and you've got to wear a mask.
Yes, sir. We got to stop the spread, right? So I would be I'd be after individual liberty, all that stuff. Oh, I know. You can't forget this one. You cannot forget this one. I would teach the children that the founding fathers were racist white men. I would do that. I would make sure that I would do everything I could to discredit them.
They use the word white. That's a lie.
Yeah, that's right. We're not even white. Good point. All right. So, So I got to show you some stuff here. I'm going to try to tie this together here. Thank you, by the way, for all the great things I didn't think of. They're everywhere, right? He's the father of lies. And there's no truth in him. And can I tell you something? The job of the church is to counter the truth. And how many of you have heard a sermon on any of those things we just spoke of? I would bet none of you have. Why? Because they've been lied to, and they believe that you want to hear feel-good messages, and so they give you feel-good messages. And they tell you that you have no responsibility, and God's in control, and he's going to come in, he's going to take us all out. I'm not making fun of the rapture. That's the mentality, okay? Okay, so I got to show you something here. Which one? Pull up number, which one do I want to go to? Let's go, folks. I got to say this yesterday because I got several comments from people saying that I played a clip yesterday about election fraud that wasn't true and old or miss. I can't remember what it was. And in fairness to them, they were right. I didn't try to fool anybody, but I went back and looked the date on it. Yeah, that was 2020. Mea culpa. I'm sorry. I didn't mean try to deceive anybody. Are you looking at me right now? If you don't think the elections were rigged, you must be deeply, deeply programmed. And the only thing I can say is you don't think the elections were rigged because your guy won. That can be the only excuse. Only excuse, your guy won. So I want to show you something, what's going on, so that we understand it, okay? I got four really quick little clips that I want to play for you regarding election. Number one says Joe Rogan. Now listen, he may swear, okay? I don't open this clip. He may say a bad word. Hold your ears if he happens to. But if you're watching this show right now and you don't understand that all of the border crossings, all that stuff is about the destruction of our electoral system. Kill all of the old people and bring in new voters. If you don't understand that, then I don't even know how to help you. So I'm going to show you four individual clips here. Joe Rogan, go ahead. 35 seconds.
Like when you start thinking about it like that, that sounds like a conspiracy theory, but it's like totally political, all these moves.
100%.
Yeah.
They're literally importing Democratic voters.
Yeah.
They think by allowing the borders to be porous and by giving people aid and giving people housing that you're essentially guaranteeing that if you can rig it so that those people are allowed to vote, those people are going to vote Democratic. And if you could say that, oh, voter ID is racist, like what? Voter ID is
racist.
That's
crazy that they think that.
It's but it's
and
not,
they don't think that. They don't think that. They know that that's not true.
It's horseshit.
Yeah.
It's all political horseshit.
Like when you start.
That's right. So what does Tucker say about, for all of you out there who say that I'm making up stealing elections? You think I'm making it up because why? Your guy won. And you're okay with the cheating because your guy won. What's Tucker say?
What are the numbers you need to understand? Yale University released a study last week by three researchers, all of them liberal, I believe, who concluded that the actual number of illegal aliens in this country is not 11 million, it's north of 22 million. 22 million. Mm. Fact one. Fact two, the Democratic Party is now, as a matter of policy, calling for the legalization of all illegals in this country, citizenship voting rights, 22 million new voters. Fact three, the overwhelming majority of first-time immigrant voters vote Democrat. Fact four, the largest margin in American presidential history was 17 million votes, 1984 election between Mondale and Reagan.
And Reagan, yeah.
17 million. You would add to our voter rolls 22 million, at least, permanent electoral majority in perpetuity. That's what this is about. It's not about making the country better, serving our labor needs, helping the population. It's about putting Democrats in power forever. Truth of our immigration debate. Period. What are the numbers you need to understand?
Okay, good. All right. So what does Rudy Giuliani say about it? Good. This one may be a little hard to hear. Sorry if it is. I couldn't get it out. Go. What's Rudy say?
The governor, you know, hiding in a closet somewhere is, we'll get the names of the people who voted. Now, he wouldn't give us the names of the people who voted. He wouldn't give us the ballots, and he wouldn't give us the machine. So how are we going to do an audit? Yesterday, you know what he said? Yesterday on Sean's show, we recounted three times. Well, if in fact there was fraud, then they recounted the fraudulent ballots three times. That's all they did. But the same thing in Atlanta. If you don't do a forensic analysis of the paper, you can't tell if it's phony paper. If you don't check the names of the people who voted to see if they're citizens or not, and find out that 20,000, 30,000, 40,000, 50,000 aren't citizens, therefore you got to pull their votes out. If you don't check whether people from out of state are voting, of which we had a number there, alleged, and he just cut us off. It isn't that he didn't agree with us. He didn't give us a right to be heard. I didn't expect the governor to necessarily agree with us, just wanted to hear us. In fact, Kemp did the same thing. And he's at that thing. I mean, Kemp and he deliberately.
Not just at the thing. By the way, he
tried to cover up what they knew was false.
I want to get that. Kemp actually runs the committee on the RGA that's for voter integrity. I want to go back to Ducey for a second.
Okay, so there it is. Rudy said they wouldn't even count. Did you see this? Approximately 30 to 80,000 illegals voted in Arizona. 80,000 illegals. Huh? And people say I'm making it up. Coach Dave, you're making it up. Making it up? Wake the hell up. What are you talking about? Racism. Play that one. Huh? Here's what's going on. Huh? Play that.
This bill is essentially a poll tax because I am not aware of a single proof of...
They're trying to pass a bill in the House, which they did pass it, that you have to be a citizen to vote. I'm not making it up, all right? They're not making it up. And so she's going to stand up and say, that's a poll tax. Oh, we can't make these people tell us who they are, verify. That would be... Got it? Anybody know the word? Come on. Starts with an R.
Racist.
Yes! That would be racist. We got to let these people. Started at the beginning. Yeah. They play the same card over and over. Go ahead.
This bill is essentially a poll tax because I am not aware of a single proof of citizenship document that does not cost an individual money to get it. Unless we are requiring every state to provide one for free, and then it's an unfunded mandate. This is the 2024 version of the Jim Crow poll tax, and we should vote against it.
There you go. Why? Because the Democrats, hey, look, are you looking at me? The Republicans know it too. It's about maintaining their own power, friends. One more. Pull up a racism. This is what we're dealing with in the national education. Is that racism one? That wasn't the one I meant. I'll get this one. Where is it? Pull up the one that says election fraud. Stop a minute. Pull up leader of the National Education Association. National Education Association. All right? Educating your children. Let me say it again. National Education Association is communist. They're not for teachers. They're for maintaining control of the educational system. And here's the national president. Go ahead.
You got to check out America's National Education Annual Conference held at the weekend. And they talked about important things, you know, with due seriousness, such as social justice, the need for an education system built on equity. Have a listen to the association's national president, Becky Pringle, talking exactly as you'd expect the president of the Education Association to speak.
NEA delegates, we can do this work. We must do this work. We get to do this work. We will do this work because our students are depending on us to win all the things. NEA, we have to win all the things. All the things. All the things. Our colleagues are depending on us to win all the things.
Liz, there you go, Yeah, it's all about education, isn't it? Oh, come on, man. Jack McCarthy, come on in, Jack. Bet you ain't hearing this in your pulpit, are you? Not hearing this in your pulpit? Go ahead. Are you there, Jack? Jack's probably listening on Facebook or someplace where there is a delay.
Okay, so you're not...
Go ahead.
You're not going to like what I'm going to say here, because if you go back to the original, yes, the stupid phone.
We're losing. Okay, so let me switch gears. Okay, hang on, Rochelle, go ahead quickly. And then Spencer, get ready for me. It says Christians in abortion. Get that ready for me. Go ahead. Go ahead, Rochelle.
I just wanted to share, I dropped in this chat, Operation Burning Edge, and it's got Ann Vandersteel teamed up with Michael Yon, and they are covering the border. You're going to get some that you're not going to see on the news. And it's just very informative about what's going on. Show your normie friends.
Show your normie. They'll call it propaganda. Why? Because their team is winning, friends. You understand? They are Democrats, whatever the word that means. Their team is winning. Okay, hang on. Ready? Now, two things I want you to see. Number one, it's right under Christians and abortion. Oh, stay right there. Stay right there, Spencer. Stay right there. Fulton County scanned more than 3,000 ballots twice during the recount of the 2020 presidential election. You get it? They scanned the same ballots twice. There are 360,761 ballot images from the machine count that are not available from the 2020 elections. They have 380,760 votes with no ballot. Biden won Georgia by 11,779 vote margin over Trump. Elections aren't rigged. They aren't rigged. Spencer, pull up. Which one did I say, dude? Yeah, because this really gets under my crawl, okay? Because the Republican Party has removed abortion from the platform. They've removed abortion from the platform. I'm not going to defend it. I'm not going to defend Trump. I'm not going to defend anybody, but I'm going to show you the reason why. But wait a minute. Before I do that, I want all of you out there to say, hey, coach, please show us the reason why. I'm going to wait for somebody to say that. Please show us the reason why, coach.
Coach, please show us the reason why.
Okay. Anybody else? Just Vinny's the only one wants to know?
I already know.
Okay, you can say, okay. I'm going to show you the reason why then. Spencer, if you can, pull up Christians and abortion.
Because please show us the reason why, coach.
Okay, 70% of women.
No, what?
70% of women who get abortions identify as Christians. And the Republican Party said, why are we taking on this most serious issue when the Christians are having the abortions?
Boom.
You get it, friends? You get it? So Trump and the Republican Party said, why would we take a side in this when 70% of the people getting abortions are Christians? Christians want abortion. Do you get it, friends? Do you see this? This two-card Monte? So whoever's running the Republican Party said, let's stay away from abortion because, hell, Christian women are having the abortions. Trump voters are having the abortions. It's crazy, isn't it? It's crazy. So what have I been saying all along, Dale, and you know this, and Mark Harrington, you know this. We can't get for how long, Dale, have we tried to get the Christian church involved in abortion? And Dale, what's been the response?
That's funny. That's a funny question. Hey, coach, the fact of the matter is the Republican Party only use abortion and only, I said, used to use the abortion during an election on the platform. Outside of that, did zero. Church, for the most part, did zero. Donald Trump, doesn't matter whether you love him or like him, is not a politician. His 4 years in politics, he put Supreme Court justices on there that gave us Jackson versus Dobbs decision. Let me tell you what, they are petrified of what that guy will not only expose, but what he will do the next time around.
Amen, amen. Hey, look, Donald Trump, as I said a million times, is a bouncer at a bar. Is he a Christian? I don't know. But I can tell you this. Are you looking at me? Donald Trump has done more to advance the Christian agenda than George W. Bush ever dreamed of doing. Anybody want to disagree with that? Anybody want to? George W. was this great Christian guy, and he about destroyed America in the Persian Gulf. He about destroyed it. Right? Now, come on. You can say it. We can all say it. Right? We can all say it. Oh, I'd take me someplace else, and Lord, don't let me go there today. Don't let me go there today. Oh, my goodness. One more thing? Do I have one more thing? Yeah, I got one more thing. Let's pull up. Number two. It doesn't have a number on. No. Losing control of the streets. Pull that one up there. Friends, America, the America we know. Man, oh man, oh man. Authorities are literally losing control of the streets as America's societal collapse accelerates. You understand that, don't you, friends? You understand that the inner cities are gone. They're gone. And the inner cities are so gone that if the Republicans win the election, they're going to be rioting in the inner cities like we have never seen. Scroll down a little bit, Spencer. Why did I put this in? Oh, okay. How about this? These are just some clips I found. A New Hampshire family is being terrorized by homeless encampments that sprouted up behind their historic home, leading to violent encounters with the vagrants, according to a report. Robin Bach and her husband spent years restoring their 19th century dream home in Concord to raise their two children and have been plagued by the campers living in the woods behind their palatial home. They've received death threats and have heard gunshots and screams from beyond the tree line. A swing set in their backyard bought in 2020 during the pandemic sits untouched by her terrified children who will only play in the front yard. Scroll down to the next one. Scroll to the next one. Since purchasing the house in 2018 with grand plans to renovate and raise a family, Bach has called the police 37 times. According to police records reviewed by the newspaper, 6 calls were for an area check, another 6 for disturbances, as well as domestic violence and criminal trespassing incidents, and the cops didn't come. 109 people have been shot, listen, 19 fatally in gun violence across Chicago since Wednesday. How many? 109 people shot, 19 fatally, during the extended 4th of July weekend. Superintendent Larry Snelling and Mayor Brandon Johnson both called for accountability for those responsible for the shootings. Johnson was pressed to address what adjustments need to be made to keep the community safe. His response was simply getting more support. Scroll down, next one. This is coming to America. In Chicago in 2023, more than 1,800 calls were made to 911 of a person being shot. But only 800 of them, fewer than half, were even responded to by a cop or a medic. The other 1,000 callers were victims of 911 backlogs where no police were available at the time of the call. Those victims had to wait half an hour, or even several hours for the 911 call backlog to end and for police to finally arrive. It was the same for the 32,000 911 calls of an assault in progress where police were only immediately available for 50% of the calls. 32,000 police were only available for half of them. And it was the same for 54% of the city's 911 calls of 35,000 batteries in progress. I'm not going to read any more of it, folks. This is a powder keg getting ready to explode. More than 50 cars were involved in a street takeover in downtown LA early Saturday as some went up in flames. Video shows a car completely engulfed by a fire sitting in the middle of an intersection as a thick black cloud of smoke rises from the vehicles. Other cars can be seen as they try to drive around the inferno. LAPD said several vehicles were impounded after authorities responded to the area near the 18th Street and Main Street where participants intentionally set 2 of those cars on fire. Do you remember when this happened? Rodney King, anybody remember that? Folks, Rodney King every day in LA. Every day in LA. And I don't know where you are, but you better take warning that if you are near a city, it is coming to you. You may be out in the country. You may be a 10-mile drive. You may be a 15-mile drive. Let me tell you something. They are going to come like ants out into the hinterland to flee what's going on in the inner city. Amen. I'm about out of time here. Laura Ann, come on in.
Yeah, and you're absolutely correct because they're prepping here in Chicago for that. And the DNC National Convention will be in August here at the stadium.
Mm.
And Kim Clement prophesied that there's going to be a crumbling. And so it'll be very interesting to see if if everybody who's staying at the Hyatt Regency, because he specifically called out the Hyatt Regency, if if everybody who's staying at the Hyatt Regency, and the Hyatt Regency is owned by the governor of Illinois, which is J.B. Pritzker, and their family. And so it'll be interesting to see if that building starts to crumble and if there's a riot because of it. And it'll be very interesting to see what happens in August.
Coming to a city near you. I'm not trying to scare you. I would be negligent if I didn't warn you some of this stuff that's going on, friends. Dale.
Well, Coach, just go ahead and circle this calendar date and this time stamp right here. If Donald Trump wins the presidency, you're going to see a real insurrection in January.
You will, baby. I'm telling you, you will, folks, like something we have never seen. And it won't be an insurrection in Washington, D.C. It will be a burning of the cities again. Burning of the cities again. It is what it is. I'm not prophesying that. I'm not hoping for that. Look what's going on. Wow. We have 22 million non-American, just from the southern border. 22 million. That would swing an election, right? Do you think those 22 million would want more welfare and more free stuff? Do you think those 22 million would want what you have? Think they would? Do you think the government would vote to give them what you have? We're debating in Congress right now whether non-citizens have the right to vote. Huh? Your pastor been talking about that, I wonder? Probably not. Trent.
Yeah, Coach, that was a boom. You would be negligent if you did not tell us this. And yes. That's where we've been the last 50 years.
Yeah.
Amen, Coach. Yeah, do we go on our vacations out of the country and try to vote in their election? My goodness.
They would lock us up if we did that, right? They'd lock us up. Betty.
We have squatters, and if we don't let those squatters in, we're going to go to jail because we don't want them in our homes.
Well, Betty, we're bigots. Don't you understand? We're racist and we're bigot, and you're Christians? Why, my goodness, you ought to reach your arms out to these poor people. They're lawbreakers, friends. They are lawbreakers. And what are they doing? Just printing money, printing it faster than they can get the ink to dry. Oh, my goodness, Lord help us. Jack, you went away. Mary Jane, Jeff.
Coach, I went into the mayor's
office. Again. Can I get the thing?
Go ahead, Jeff.
Coach, I went into the mayor's office yesterday to get my permit again for the square for the month. So I took one of JR's signs, family signs, because I've been trying to get the mayor to talk to me. So I thought, I filled out the form. Then I said, hey, I'm going to sit this in the mayor's office. So I stepped in and set the sign in there. I said, have him call me. Well, the guy started talking to me, the man that is the mayor's secretary, and I've always wondered about this, talking about church on the square and this and that. And he said, well, I've been looking long and hard for a church, and I finally found one. I'm thinking, oh, no. He goes to the UCC church up the street. And I'm like, buddy. So I had to say it. I could not walk out of there.
That's the homo church.
Yeah. I said, that's apostate. That is evil. I said, buddy, you're in danger. And he's like, oh, he wouldn't respond at all. But there's one infiltrated right in the mayor's office.
So your enemies will be what? Those of your own household. Now, that certainly means your home. And sadly, I have enemies in my own household. But it's the house of God, the collection of the body of Christ. Your enemies will be those who claim to be Christians, friends. If all the Christians voted the same way, they'd win every election. But they don't. They have two versions of Christianity, and they've done it to us on purpose. So they have, I'm going to open your eyes, the Republicans are the conservative, we hate sin Christianity. That's the conservatives. The liberals are, Jesus loves everybody. We need welfare. We need to let women have the right to choose. God gave us choice. They have divided the church into half. So that when the Christians go to vote, they're canceling out one another's vote. They've been masters at it. The devil is unbelievable in his ability to lie and manipulate. And for the most part, the average Christian, the average church, the average man standing in the pulpit has no understanding of what's going on until they wake up. I don't know what we're going to do. God bless you. This is great, wasn't it? God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.